and welcome to Rewatchable 47 for Veronica Mars. Today we're discussing episode 17, Debasement Tapes, and 18, I Know What You'll Do Next Summer. I'm Danielle, and with me today is Gabrielle, Karen, and Ariana. Hi, everybody. I'm so glad you could be here.
Hi.
Hi.
We are happy to be here, Danielle.
Good. These two episodes, I really like them, so I'm really excited to discuss them. So I feel like they were better than the last two that we had discussed last week. So
last week, didn't you guys talk about like the killer and finding out who the killer was? I feel like that's a big deal.
It's a big deal, but it wasn't as exciting as the other reveals have been.
Yeah, so, I feel like we kind of knew that was coming. At least I did. I was texting Danielle today while I was catching up on everything. And I was like, I totally knew the TA was really shady. I called that from episode one.
Yeah. See, I feel like quite a few people have had that reaction. Like, not that it's a bad thing, but a lot of people have called it. So it was less of a surprise.
I think it was a relief to finally just know.
Yeah.
Honestly, I didn't see it coming when I first watched it. So it was always fun to rewatch this season and try to pick up any clues.
I was really disappointed that kid had nothing to do with it. The creepy kid.
Oh, the moody son or whatever?
Yeah, Caitlin and I had devised this whole plan of how he had done it. And then
I forgot about him.
But, oh well, I guess I was right from episode one, so that's all that matters.
You know. If all that matters is you being right, it's fine.
Yeah.
And apparently I'm the only one that was upset that Sheriff Lamb died.
To the extent that you were.
I haven't recorded with you guys in a while, but I loved Sheriff Lamb, even though he was kind of a douchebag.
He was definitely a douchebag. Yeah.
But he added so much to the show, like his one-liners and just, you know, having that foe for Keith.
Mm-hmm.
So I was sad that he just like went out, not even like by the Fitzpatricks or by like someone super shady. It was just like Batondo, bam.
Yeah, and I mean, he's been there since season one, so it was kind of like now all of a sudden there's this void, and it feels really weird.
Yeah, I think that's one of the reasons this season isn't my favorite.
Yeah, there are quite a few problems. One of them probably being cancellation, but we can get into that. I think we'll talk about that and the factors that kind of made the season what it was once we finish it. But yeah, there were definitely problems. But I don't know about you, but I didn't find too many huge problems in the two episodes we're discussing today. My opinion may be changed throughout the course of this podcast by your arguments, like it sometimes happens. But I really enjoyed these two episodes, and I thought that they were relatively quality for what season three has been. So let's just jump right into episode 17, Debasement Tapes. Here's that quick synopsis for it. Veronica enlists Wallace for a girl talk about how to let Piz down easy, but Veronica and Piz seem to be going strong at the end of the episode. Mac bonds with Max and breaks up with Bronson. Logan doubts Veronica's faithfulness and teams up with Mac for a new business venture. Piz and Veronica help faded Hearst rock star Desmond, played by Paul Rudd, rediscover his mojo despite his douchiness. Leo and Keith team up to solve a robbery, only to be assisted by Vinny, who announces he's running for sheriff against Keith. Well, at least Leo got his old job back. So, quite a few things going on in this episode. One of the things is actually us being able to see Wallace on screen, which was kind of a nice change. But I feel like now his role has kind of been less about his own agency and more about him in terms of Veronica in a different way that we've seen, like in season one. So what do we think about him being kind of Veronica's, I don't even know what to call him, gal pal? Not even like a crony, but like a gal pal. Because the last few conversations they've had have been about relationships and stuff like that.
That's all Wallace is good for anymore.
It's so unfortunate. It's both him and Weevil have just become not stereotyped, because they are more than that, but they've just become Veronica's cronies in a sense. They don't have any storyline this season.
Well, now that they've moved to the CW, they've decided that all the minorities are just there to serve Veronica and basically talk about her love life or give her keys.
Aw. I'm kind of on the other side of this fence because I feel like Wallace serves a much better piece in the whole overall game when he's related to Veronica and when they're kind of like attacking these problems together. That's not to say that I don't enjoy Wallace on his own, because I really do, but I feel like the storylines that we've gotten of him as more of a solo character have like made me not like him, and I actually like him better when he's being sort of this like gal pal or like wise advisor to Veronica. I just kind of feel like it reminds me more of season one Wallace, when I liked him a lot more than I did in season two, say. So I kind of don't mind it, although it is sad that he does get sidelined a lot along with Weevil.
I was listening to one of the Veronica Mars podcasts. I think I mentioned this in our last episode that we did. But one of our listeners, Tanisha, had posted like a download link for a bunch of the old Veronica Mars podcasts. And they were talking about it and saying how they wish they could have gotten these characters in more. But just the way it worked out, they had like a huge board and like schedule on who they could have when. And even though that they were series regulars, like they weren't on the boards very much, which is really sad because it makes us think that they really didn't care about the characters. But at the same time, I think it was like scheduling and all of these other things that kind of played into it, which also probably didn't help them in terms of getting renewed. So
I understand that. And it makes me happy that it had to be do with like a money thing versus just like a character thing. But I just wish that when they did have screen time, it was of value.
Yeah.
Like they had something to do.
I agree. And I think I agree with Karen that Wallace is better when he's with Veronica in some way. But how he's been with Veronica in this episode and the next one is just like one line, like here's some relationship advice, not solving crimes together like we've seen them do in the past.
Yeah.
So, and Weevil is practically non-existent this season.
There was also actually a B storyline a few episodes back that was supposed to happen, but because the series was getting canceled, they had to like kind of crush plot points together. But there was a storyline where Wallace was hanging around with Mac, and he was actually being a friend to her and trying to help her through some of the issues that were never resolved after what happened with Beaver. And that storyline got thrown out because there just wasn't time for it on screen. And so I feel like that would have been really, really nice to see, because we would have gotten more of Wallace in more of a friendly role or trying like a helpful role.
That sounds maybe so much more valuable, because those are issues that were never addressed, and they are really big issues. Like what Beaver did was awful. And she has to still be dealing with that, and we haven't seen it.
Yeah, so fun fact.
Yeah. Instead of all this stupid back and forth drama with Logan and Veronica, it's driving me crazy.
It's really stressing me out. Like, I mean, usually I'm all for romance, and I really don't have a problem with it. But I was telling Danielle earlier, I kind of have Veronica Mars fatigue right now. And these last few episodes helped a lot. But I feel like the show has been focusing a lot more on the relationship between, you know, like the love triangles and stuff like that. But especially the relationship between Logan and Veronica. And I guess, like, I understand why, but at the same time, one of the best things about season one, which I think a lot of people find to be their favorite season, is that, yeah, it had the romance aspect, but the mystery was such a big part of the show, and that's what really kind of drew you into the story as a whole. And we're getting less and less of that in season three, especially since, like, the rape cases, that ended fairly soon. And then, you know, we found out who the dean's murderer is. And I feel like now we're just kind of, like, waiting until the season finale. There's not a whole lot of buildup and a lot of mystery, like, cases, you know, long stretching cases that cover more than one episode going on right now.
Yeah, I agree. It just seemed like the romance was almost better when it was minimized because you cared about it more and you wanted to see more, and it was more of a guessing game than here's it ever present, and it's lost some of its shine.
Exactly. It had more of like a Jane Austen, like, secret passageway feel. And now it's so, like, in your face, just soap opera.
Yeah, even in parts of it where it really doesn't have to be. Like in this episode where Logan starts thinking that Veronica cheated on him. Like, that to me was completely unnecessary drama. It did not need to be there. It wasn't even logical in the way that she even reacted to cheating. Like, I don't know. It was completely unnecessary, in my opinion.
Yeah, Veronica Mars is so much better than that. And for them to kind of be stooping to that level, just, it makes me really sad. And it makes me miss season one even more.
Let's continue talking about Veronica and her relationships, because we're already on the topic. So we see a little bit more of Piz and Veronica in this episode, and they're actually working together on a case. How are you liking their relationship so far? I guess it kind of starts in this episode, but I don't know. What did you think of them?
I thought they're a cute platonic couple, like her and Duncan. They remind me a lot of her and Duncan, just really close friends. Who they are, like, there's a little bit of attraction there, but they're just not good together, or they're just not exactly right for each other. And so I think Piz is a good guy, Veronica's a good girl, and I just think they should, this episode shows their friendship a lot. It doesn't show any sparks between them.
I have to disagree on one point very heavily, Gabrielle, and that is that Piz is nothing like Duncan.
Because... I knew you were going to say that.
Piz is wonderful, and Duncan was a boring statue. But other than that, I think I agree. I love Piz, but I just feel like him and Veronica do not go well together, even though I like them both as individuals, because I kind of feel like they don't. Well, I do feel like Veronica doesn't deserve Piz, in that I don't think she will ever appreciate him the way she appreciates Logan.
Yeah, this is so hard for me. I love Piz too. I think he is a ball of sunshine, and I just
love all the Piz love.
I just want to keep him. He is so adorable. And I actually do like the two of them together, which is funny because for the longest time I was like, yeah, Logan and Veronica, but I feel like right now Logan and Veronica, like, there's just so much drama that I can't really handle it, and I'm like, okay, I'm just going to set you guys aside for a while. It's not like I'm anti, you know, love, because I really do like them together, but I have to think back to what I liked in season one and a little bit of season two rather than what I've been seeing recently. But I really do like Piz and Veronica together, although I will agree that I don't think she really appreciates him, because she's so jaded, and Piz isn't. Like, he is just this puppy dog, and I don't think that's a bad thing. I think that's just his personality, and it does kind of worry me that maybe Veronica is not necessarily leading him along. I think she's trying to get over Logan, and I think she does like Piz, but I'm not quite sure, you know, her feelings are as strong as his feelings are for her.
I think if you just came out of a relationship like that, which was long-term and had its ups and downs and was very tumultuous, you need longer than a few weeks or like a month to get over that. Like, I'm sorry. It's not like, oh, like even with Logan, you know, he shouldn't have moved on that quickly, but at least he and Parker seem happy. But I think for the both of them, it's just kind of like you need a little bit of longer time to not be a rebound.
Yeah, it most definitely looks like a rebound, especially with what you put in here, Gabrielle, in the doc, about how she changed her mind after she was planning on letting him down. It's almost as if, like, I mean, we all kind of go through it. It's not always love or even infatuation at first sight. but it felt like she was kind of needed more convincing with Piz than he probably deserved.
Yeah, okay. I don't understand. He's so great.
But... I agree. Although I think maybe part of it came from when she looked at Max, and I have a feeling what was going through her head was, okay, this guy, you know, his last quote-unquote relationship wasn't, you know, really the greatest, and he had a lot of ups and downs with that and everything that happened surrounding that, and yet he's sort of moving on, and he was looking to Mac, and he was trusting again, and I think what was going on in her mind was, okay, you know, Logan's moved on from me, at least a little bit. I think maybe I can move on too, and Piz is a good guy, and I think that they work, and I think they do work well, but it's just a completely different relationship than she has with Logan. And I can't really tell if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
One point that's been brought up before, I think Kristen Bell has brought it up a few times, it's kind of floating around, is that his is more of a, they call him more of a good boyfriend in contrast to Logan, just because of the way that there's no ups and downs and roller coasters. And I don't know, would you necessarily call him a better boyfriend than Logan?
I think it depends on on what you're talking about exactly. See, I kind of think of this like the Hunger Games love triangle thing.
Oh, no.
What? Well, no, because...
The love triangle is a little exhausting.
Let's have it out, Karen.
Well, it's definitely a big part of the Hunger Games, for sure. No, I'm not hearing what you have to say.
Well, if you think about it, Katniss had feelings for both Peeta and Gale for various reasons. And in the end, she goes for Peeta because she says, Gale has a lot of fire and I already have my own fire, and together, like, we're too much. And so that's sort of why she goes with Peeta and how she can kind of get along with Peeta so much. So I don't think that, you know, between Logan and Piz, there's necessarily like a right guy and a wrong guy. It's just sort of like which one might work out a little bit better. And I kind of see Piz as the Peeta and Logan as the Gale. Not that I see Veronica as Katniss at all. And I think in the end, she's probably going to end up with Logan because that's been hinted at pretty heavily. But yeah, I kind of see it in those terms, I guess.
I really like that comparison. I've never thought about that before. That's good.
I think that's a good comparison, and I was a Team Gale fan, so I approve that comparison. But yeah, I think it was in this episode that Veronica makes the Pisneyland analogy.
Oh, yeah, I loved that.
And it's really true. It's just like, I think at this point she is looking for something that's just not as chaotic because she's trying to fit in and be a normal college girl. So for that, she goes to Piz, but I think she's just the type of person who thrives off of adrenaline, as we've seen for the past 3 seasons. So I think Pisneyland is fine for a bit, but I don't think that's her ultimate destination.
I agree, only because, I mean, I was Team Peeta all the way.
Oh, yeah.
You know. But I think that Veronica, I can't see her ever being happy like that. Like, she's so full of ambition, and I think she really needs to feel like she's challenged on a daily basis, which I think is in some ways is bad, because I do think that her and Logan are kind of a volatile relationship that they have to work through a lot before they can be good long term. But I don't think she would be content just being content. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. I think she wants like that passion and that craziness, and it's not always a bad thing. I think they just maybe have to mellow out a little bit and learn to trust each other a little bit more, and then it'll be fine.
She's an adrenaline junkie.
Yeah, she really is.
Yeah. All right. Well, moving on from relationships, let's talk about the mystery of the week. Show of Voices How many of you were so excited to see Paul Rudd on your screen? Because
I
was.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Okay. You guys so are going to hate me.
Oh, no.
Aaron. I'm so sorry.
It's fine.
Who is he?
Have you seen Clueless? Okay. Obviously not.
Oh, my God. Like, ages ago. Like, a really long time ago.
Have you seen Cher's stepbrother. The Mr. Knightley character.
Have you seen Anchorman?
No, I hate those kind of movies.
What about, what's that one, the Judd Apatow one that just came out, like, two Christmases ago?
This My is Idiot 40. Brother?
Yeah, This is 40. He was in that. He's good.
Before that, Karen, he was in Knocked Out.
Karen, Paul Rudd will be playing one of the Ant-Man characters coming up, if that helps at all.
Oh, okay. See, Daniel knows how to talk my language, you guys.
He's a comedian, and he's also branching out into the Marvel Universe very soon.
Oh, okay.
He did a lot of romantic comedies, though, back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
I tried looking him up, and I'm like, is this dude, like, an actual singer? Like, is he a famous singer? Is this, like, a riff off of, like, his own career or something? And I was, like, really confused, and I didn't find anything, so.
He's just talented.
Okay.
Ant-Man.
That helps a lot.
I thought it would. I'm glad. So even though you didn't know who he was, Karen, did you enjoy this Mystery of the Week? Or
yeah, actually. And okay. I mean, the reason why I enjoyed it so much, I think, is because it just sort of cemented my love for Piz and how he is a literal ball of sunshine. And I think it was like my favorite scene, so I'll talk about it more later. But yeah, I thought it was really interesting, and I like the way it ended and how he sort of like did his own solo music and people were really into it, and he got a little bit of that confidence back. It was really nice to see a happy ending.
Ariana?
I agreed. Didn't I already say that I love Paul Rudd?
Did. But I mean, there's a difference between loving Paul Rudd and maybe loving the storyline. I had to check because not all the storylines have been solid lately. So.
Oh yeah, I thought he was so funny as this like kind of, I don't know, kind of washed up rock star. I loved it.
Oh, Gabrielle has a good question in here. Does he remind us of anyone on the show? And at first I was kind of confused of where you were going with this, but I think I got it if anybody else gets it. I took it as him reminding us of Veronica? Is that where you were going?
No, but let's hear your
own. Oh, okay. Well,
it was an open-ended question, so it's okay. Fine.
Well, I see it in terms of this question, I can see him reminding us of Veronica in the fact that he can't seem to let go of the things that he did in the past, and he's really not confident in moving forward. And then once he's kind of shown that he can do it, he can move forward, he is happier and he knows that he can. So, like, I see that in terms of the love triangle. I don't know.
He kind of
that's not where you're going.
He kind of reminds me of Logan because
Bingo.
he's so, like, it's similar to Logan a few episodes ago when he was, like, in his depression and not cleaning his room and...
That makes more sense.
Being okay. Smelly.
Well, it's also similar to Logan in that Logan's, you know, he has a little bit of a douchey aspect in him that's more of a facade, and he just relies on that and relies on his name in the past because that's what's worked before and that's what people expect of him, which is how, you know, Desmond relies on his old songs because that's what people expect of him. But really, they're trying to break free and trying to prove that they're more than that. And for Logan, it's been hard because, you know, he's trying to do it in his own way and Veronica was trying to push him in a different way and, you know, just a lot of expectations. And for Desmond, the same thing. So that's how I saw it.
Makes a lot more sense. It sounds a lot better. And also, just in terms of this storyline, not that the Mystery of the Week itself was really anything compelling, but we got a few good tidbits. Also, the band's name was My Pretty Pony. Can you imagine having a popular band being called My Pretty Pony? Because that would be so cool.
That's not what it I thought you were going to say.
It was really? It was very girly.
I was hilarious.
I was more worried about that quote-unquote music video.
That's true, yeah, it was weird.
Oh my god, that was so bad.
It just reminded me of bronies, and they creep me out a little bit, so...
Oh, no.
Yeah, I was really confused, like, the whole time, and then I kind of realized that it wasn't My Little Pony, like, I had to... Yeah.
All right, let's see what else we have here. Any last words on the mystery of the week? Or, well, plot line of the week, let's say.
I have a lot of strong feelings on Mac right now, but we can discuss that next episode.
Okay.
Some more.
I mean, we have it a little bit at the end of our doc here for this one, so we can get there and make it a transition. It'd be good. Let's see. The Fitzpatricks are back. Surprise? Do we care?
I'm disappointed. I thought they were going to be around a lot more this season because they were so creepy and scary at the beginning. And now they're not. Like, they just barely showed up.
Yeah, they keep bringing up, like, these past plot lines, and it just confuses me. And not that I don't remember who the Fitzpatricks are, but I'm kind of at the point, like, they've been gone so long, they don't really scare me anymore, and I just want Sheriff Mars to, like, punch that Liam guy in the face and get it over with. Like, why aren't these guys in jail yet? I don't understand.
Like, also, the one guy threatened an officer. I think it's in the next episode, but, like, he threatened an officer. Can't you arrest someone on that?
Yeah.
And I am just so confused because I thought Kendall was dead and they like found her body, but apparently they didn't. So Keith like changed her secret identity or something. And I don't understand what's going on, but if she's alive, that'll make Marima happy.
I mean, also the fact that they were towards the beginning of the season, they were relevant when Veronica was investigating the missing guy, and now they're relevant again, but they're not anything real. We don't know more about them this season. It's not like they're better characters. They're just like, oh, here's the boogeyman coming to get you every single time. So it just gets old.
So I'm confused. Is Kendall's still dead, right? Like, she's dead.
She's dead.
Okay.
She's definitely dead. Then how come they're coming back and being like, oh, what did you do with Kendall? Where is she?
Well, he just wants his money, right?
Yeah, he wants the money. The only one who really knows... Well, the only two who really know what happened to Kendall, I think, was the guy who killed her and Keith. And the guy who killed her was then killed by the other brother, right? The one that showed up in the office demanding the money. And he's the one who, like, hunted down Keith. So I don't know why Keith can't arrest him on that. But I guess since it happened in the past, he's really just looking for his money. Like, that's all he really wants. And another reminder, I'd thrown it out in the last episode, but in that podcast that I was listening to, they did say that they, once they found out that they were getting canceled, they had to cram a lot of things into the episodes, so they would turn like three separate episodes and try to cram it into two. So maybe some Fitzpatrick storylines may have been dropped at some point just to try to accommodate the fact that they had to go off the air. I don't know. I mean, it could be an excuse. It could be the truth, or it could be, I don't know. Not
that makes sense. Like, the Fitzpatricks are scary enough that you could make them like a series long villain. But since the series was cut off, like... Yeah.
I can definitely tell that they're sort of like wrapping up plot lines, even older ones at this point. And I guess I don't really care all that much because it's kind of nice to get some answers that maybe we've been like hanging on to those questions for a while. But you can definitely tell like it has a different feel to it than it has recently.
Yeah, like no huge sort of mystery in the episode, because I feel like the mysteries that are in these two episodes are sort of non-mysteries. Like, this one is, oh, where'd the tapes go? And they ended up just being, like, swapped. And then the next episode is, has to deal with paternity and, oh, is this guy really telling the truth? And it's just kind of, like, a simple yes or no sort of thing. So I think that these aren't really, like,
life-changing mysteries.
Yeah. Anything really heavy.
But I'm so excited. Because next episode is supposedly about Weevil. Well, it's called Weevil's Waffle. So I'm so excited, guys.
I miss him so much. It was, I mean, even when we just get like little snippets of him at a time, it's just really nice to be reminded that he still exists in the Veronica Mars world.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's so sad. We also get a snippet, speaking of snippets of characters that we love. We see Leo. Is that anybody
Yay!
Else?
Yes!
I'm excited.
Very good.
I miss his face. It's Schmidt. His face is nice. It's not Leo. It's Schmidt. I just love him.
good. And it made me happy that he got his job back. I think it was in this episode that he got his job back. It's a nice change. And then, let's see. In terms of the Fitzpatricks and Keith, we find out that Vinny sort of scammed the police into giving him a good sort of review. And so now Vinny is going to be opposing Keith in the race for sheriff. Any thoughts on this possibility or... it's going to make a good race.
Okay. I really like Vinny. And yeah. I have for a while. I think he's hilarious. And, you know, the fact that he's a little bit shadier than Keith is just kind of really outlines, you know, what kind of a person Keith is in general. But I feel like in this episode in particular, and maybe... a little bit recently, like I just streamlined like 6 episodes, so they're all blurring in my mind right now. But he's kind of taken on this much darker tone. Like he's not quite as funny anymore. It's more vindictive, and I don't like that. Yes. I don't like the idea that he's like helping the Fitzpatricks to like break into these houses and do whatever he's doing. Just so that the crime rate goes up, so people don't like Keith as much, so that he can win as sheriff. Like, he's always been a little bit shady, but he's never been like that before, and I really don't like that change in his character.
I agree. I think it's ridiculous that everyone in Neptune except Veronica and her friends and her dad have to be dark in some way. They can be sleazy. Like, why can't Vinny just be a sleazy guy versus, you know... connected to some gang members. It doesn't really make sense for his character.
Yeah, like Cliff is kind of sleazy. I mean, he's, you know, representing that one kid who is a Fitzpatrick and everything, and he's not always on the up and up, but that's one of the reasons why you like him. And yet, you know, he doesn't have to be dark like Vinny is now, and I really like his character because of that.
I'm just still so confused by Neptune and their, like, political way they run things and how anybody can be sheriff. Just, like, anybody. So, it doesn't make sense to me, but whatever.
Do you see this upcoming race as being comical, or since he's darker, do you see it as being more of, like, a... can't use that word.
I don't think I feel like anything towards this race because it just seems so ridiculous, like the whole thing, like how Sheriff Lamb died for no reason just so that they could throw Keith into being sheriff, even though that makes no sense because he wasn't even a cop at the time, and now all of a sudden, oh, Vinny's gonna run. Like, what? Do they have no other cops in Neptune? Like, why is nobody?
Well, Keith just fired half his staff, so
yeah,
we have Deputy Sachs.
Don't forget about him.
Oh, I really like him. I like
him too.
It's so weird. Yeah, like, he's just, he's not a douchebag. Like,
he's loyal.
Yeah, he's kind of sweet. Although that mustache, man, it really has to go.
Although it's I wouldn't be able
to,
luck.
I know, and I wouldn't be able to recognize him without it. So it probably is better that he's gonna stay. But in terms of the race, like, I don't really know how I feel about it. I'm really glad that Keith is back as sheriff. Everything sort of feels right in the world now. But at the same time, you know, Ariana, now that you pointed out, like, why was he made it when he wasn't even a cop? There were probably a million other people who were just as qualified. I mean, Keith is a good detective, and he was in that position before, but that doesn't necessarily mean that he should be the one to go back into that position. But in terms of Vinny, like, I just, as long as he loses, fine, whatever, do your thing. But if he actually wins, like, I'm gonna be really mad. Although he did have a really good commercial, it kind of sold me.
He did have a good commercial.
Oh, a note on Sheriff Lamb. The actor who played Lamb was also surprised that he was killed off. So.
Oh, poor guy.
It's been suspected that maybe he was killed off because he revealed something about the show, so it's a little shady that he got killed off.
Oh, that's so random. That that reminds me of in Friends when Joey got killed off his show because
I was like, wait, like, Joey got killed off of Friends? Where was that? Okay, yeah, gotcha.
Well, that makes a lot of sense though, actually, Gabrielle, because that I felt like his killing was so random and didn't really serve to do anything valuable. Like, wouldn't it be better if the sheriff race was Lamb versus Keith and, like, Keith was going for it realistically? I guess they already did that, didn't they? Never mind. So. They did that last season. Ignore
me.
They
did. Around the time of the bus crash, they did, with Woody Goodman. Goody. All right, so last point for this episode happens to be Logan and Max budding friendship. We actually saw it in one of the two previous episodes that we had recorded on, but we see more of them kind of hanging out and being friends. Are we fans? Are you guys fans of this? I know the others are.
I am such a big fan. Logan and Mac are the new Logan and Weevil because obviously he can't hang out with Weevil anymore this season, so... But I love him and Mac together.
Yeah, so do I. Because I think, like, Mac won't take any of his crap. And she's smart. And she won't be taken advantage of. And she can kind of go back and forth with him in the witty banter. And it just works out really well.
I agree. I love it. I think they're a really good match, even if they're not, like, best friends. I don't think they have to be. I just like them working together on something that's mutually beneficial.
I hope we get to see more of them together in the movie. That would make me happy.
That would be fun. I would enjoy that very much so. Just enjoying seeing everybody. I mean, not everybody. I don't know who's in the movie.
Not Sheriff Lamb, apparently.
Yeah.
Oh, can I tell my story about the movie theater?
Yes.
It was just really funny, and it's totally random, but I went to see Vampire Academy, and the Veronica Mars trailer came on, and I started freaking out, and I only saw, like, the first 3 seconds before I literally threw my coat over my head and put my fingers in my ears, and I was like, oh my god, that trailer is so long when you're sitting in the theater like that, just so you know, but... Yeah, so I haven't seen the trailer. I wasn't spoiled on anything. All I saw was a little bit of Veronica and a little bit of her dad. And then I was like, nope, stopping there. It was really hard, though, you guys. I really wanted to watch it, but I didn't.
When you first said something about that, I was just really excited that they're actually playing the trailer in theaters. So that made me happy. Also, your reaction is wonderful. So. I was saying, I think on the last one, at this point, you shouldn't be too spoiled if you wanted to start watching things or learning about the movie, but I appreciate that you did throw your coat.
Yeah, I just, I've been trying to stay away from everything just so I don't get, like, any hints or anything like that. Like, I don't even really want to know what the tone of the movie is yet. I just really want to finish the show and then kind of see it as somebody who's seen the whole show.
Yeah.
So that's how I'm going into
it. You have so much willpower, Karen. That's so admirable.
That's awesome. Let's see. Oh, and we do have two more points about this whole Logan and Matt plot point. One of them is Dick having an area of expertise, which made me happy. I know it's Gabrielle's favorite line, so we won't spoil it too much, but it's good. And then we have Max in with the mix, helping Mac on this one. Did you find his, in your opinion, I'm not saying how I feel, but did you think that Mac being close with Max, working with him for like Logan's project, was that, would you consider that emotional cheating?
Yeah, she was just, I mean, I think she was flirting, and you guys probably discussed this last episode, but I loved Bronson and I loved him for Mac. But yeah, I just think she was, you know, I think she knew that she was feeling something about Max, and the fact that she was hesitant to call him to help says something. And the fact that, you know, she interacted with him in a very friendly manner when she obviously felt guilty, you know, says something about her motives. So I think it was emotional cheating, even though I do love Max, or sorry, Mac. And I personally think this season would have been great if we actually saw how Mac dealt with Cassidy Beaver's death versus just dating two guys who are great in their own ways.
I don't know how I really feel about this. I think I have a lot more to say for the next episode, but even though I really did like Bronson a lot, I thought that they were perfect together, and them getting together gave me like warm fuzzies and it was wonderful. But at the same time, I thought that Max kind of talked in the same language that Mac did, and I really appreciated that. So I was sort of torn too, but I think, you know, once we get into the next episode, I kind of am not so happy with Mac anymore.
I was not torn at all because I loved the vegetarian and I thought he was so great. And I think that Mac is crazy for breaking up with him. And I really liked him for her because I felt like he both challenged her and brought out the best in her, saw the best in her, and I thought that was really beautiful because, you know what, Mac probably shouldn't be cooped up in her room for days at a time. That's not healthy. Like, you should see the sunlight. But she was also having fun and doing things like scavenger hunts and making friends and interacting with people while still being the fun, lovable Mac that we loved. So I'm unhappy. But aside from that, I did like Max before. I'm just unhappy that he broke up Mac and the Vegetarian.
All right, fair enough. As for me, I didn't really see it as emotional cheating because I feel, in my opinion, I feel like she maybe stopped it before it got that far. Like, yes, she did feel something, but I don't know. It doesn't seem to cross that line for me personally. And I never really felt anything for, as you call him, the vegetarian, just because we didn't see him a lot. But I feel like if we would have seen him more, I would have more of an opinion. But I do like Max, and I do like how they fit together. So, you know, just me. So let's move into our favorite scene, favorite lines, so we can get to that next episode. My favorite scene in this episode was actually Veronica and Mac talking boys and in terms of food, which are like two of my favorite things. So it's good stuff.
Oh, I love you, Danielle.
I love you too.
But yeah, that scene was so great. And it was so funny how like, how well it fit. And I love, I don't remember the names they used, but they like put the names and the name of the food together. And it was just, yeah, it was hilarious.
It also made me really hungry. Oh, well, it's fine. Karen, what was your favorite scene?
My favorite scene was when Piz risked his job in order to get Desmond to play his new material and get some confidence, because, I mean, who does that? Piz does that. And it was awesome. And I just love him.
It made me happy, too. Ariana, what was your favorite part about this episode?
I loved Paul Rudd so much, especially when he's being, like, terrible. That's when I loved him the most. And people were just like, oh, my God, how do you live with yourself? And he's just like, well, I drink heavily and abuse drugs. So.
His character in this reminded me a little bit of his character in Forgetting Sarah Marshall. Like, I was ready for him to, like, start surfing or something and call himself Kunu. It's also one of my favorite movies, so that's why. And Gabrielle, what was your favorite scene?
My favorite scene involved Dick, Mac, and Logan plotting their new business venture. I really liked seeing Dick and Mac interact, because they haven't interacted really since the first episode of the season where he was a douche to her. So I think it's interesting to see how they interact post Cassidy or Beaver, and also just to see Logan and Dick's relationship more. I thought it was just a great scene, and my favorite line comes from that scene. So,
guys, now that that Mac and the Vegetarian are over, I am so shipping Mac and Dick. I see it. I'm starting to see it.
Oh my gosh, no.
Oh no. All right then. Gabrielle, since you mentioned it, did you want to start out with your favorite line?
Sure. So my favorite line starts with Dick saying, consultant, I'm an ass expert. Logan, yes, except for the expert part. Dick, I'm an ass? Who would you ask for advice about lions, a lion or a gerbil? Gerbil, you say? No, you would ask a lion, because by virtue of being a lion is an expert of lions. So, okay. I don't see how you hope to launch a website about hot asses without me, but fine. It's Friday night. If I walk long enough in a straight line, I'll hit a party. This is just like why I love this character. It's just all of all in that little conversation.
It's like half insightful, half accidentally calling himself an ass. And it's just all wonderful.
He's just so unapologetic for being himself that you kind of have to respect that.
Oh, I do.
Yeah, it's kind of nice to see. It reminds me of Veronica in a lot of ways, how she doesn't try to be someone she's not. Even though she just dislikes Dick a lot, he is who he is, and he's kind of proud of it.
I love him. So my favorite line is like a quick conversation between Wallace and Veronica, bringing Wallace back into the favorite lines because I feel like he hasn't been here in a while. But he says, you want me to have this talk? Am I a 12-year-old girl? And Veronica replies with, no, but you're drinking Fresca and watching Joan Crawford movies. It was just so cute. I don't know. Karen, what was your favorite line?
Mine was also from Wallace. This is going to be a trend for me today, I have a feeling. But it was when they were sitting at the lunch table and, you know, basically Veronica was trying to figure out what Piz was thinking about her and all this other stuff. Piz hasn't changed. So Wallace just sort of says, which bothers you because making out with you is supposed to be some life-changing experience. And I love how, you know, he kind of just slams her on that point. And it was really nice, too, because Piz is so anti-drama that it was really nice to see a character, you know, those two trying to figure out what's going on between them, but also there being no drama. And he really wasn't changing or, like, pining over her. He only called her once. And it was just a really cool change from a lot of the stuff that usually happens between Logan and Veronica.
Yes, I totally agree with that. I really like that. Because he's not this huge sap that a lot of people play him for, which is really nice to see. You know? So, yeah, good choice. I like it a lot.
Yes, I love his Wallace real talk.
He's got the realest real talk. Ariana, what was your favorite?
Mine was when Piz and Veronica were talking to that professor who, like, showed up in the guy in Paul Rudd's apartment hotel room. And she goes, "Believe it or not, I wasn't always a boring associate professor of Chinese. I was once rather wild." And Piz is like, "Was? You climbed down from the room above on a sheet." She was crazy.
I liked her, actually.
She was fun. She's not what you expected. So that
yeah,
was kind of nice.
Definitely.
Definitely not. All right, so let's move into episode 18, which is called "I Know What You'll Do Next Summer." And here's the quick synopsis for that. Veronica takes her PI exam and barely misses matching her dad's score, but is an official detective. Piz gets the official Keith Marr seal of approval after cuddling and studying with Veronica back at the apartment. Piz interviews a former child soldier, Apollo, about his new book, only for Veronica to get pulled in when Apollo's long-lost father comes forward. Piz debates between an internship with Pitchfork Media in New York and a radio station in Neptune, while Veronica is accepted to the FBI internship program in Quantico. Meanwhile, Wallace decides to go to Africa for the summer and volunteer with Invisible Children. Parker pressures Logan about their summer plans, only to discover he was going surfing in South America with Dick. These plans soon get canceled as Dick's father, Big Dick, finally turns himself in and tries to bond with Dick. No luck on that front. Mac and Max are attached at the hip, but Mac has worries over his nonchalance and his looming expulsion. The Fitzpatricks and Vinny are burglarizing homes in order to sink Keith's hope at sheriff, while Vinny is endorsed by the homeowners association. So lots of little details here. Let's begin with the main mystery or the main storyline of this episode, and that has to do with Apollo and Invisible Children, which, as most people know, is an actual organization, and I think a few of the show stars back it. So what did you think about the storyline itself? Did you think it was a fit for the Veronica Mars show, or was it maybe a little too PSA or a little too preachy? I don't know. How did you feel about it?
I thought the mystery was a fit for the show, you know, finding someone's long-lost father and seeing if they're really telling the truth. I thought the Invisible Children shout-out wasn't a great fit just because it seemed to come out of nowhere. And Wallace's decision to go seemed to come out of nowhere when this season we've seen him play basketball and take engineering and, you know, not volunteer with any organization or not say, "I really care about this issue." And it's a big decision to make, saying, "I'm going to Africa for the summer and doing this with my life." So I thought the mystery fit, Invisible Children, I think is a great organization. I just didn't feel like they incorporated it well.
I think I agree, Gabrielle. I think they tried really hard to incorporate it well, but I don't think that it made sense in certain ways, and that of all people, I don't feel like Wallace would be the one to... Well, I guess maybe he would want to sign up, but I don't know if he's, like, fully equipped for what he's going to have to see and handle over there.
I don't know. I actually thought it fit really well. I'll agree that, like, the mystery fit a lot better into the show than, you know, the shout out to Invisible Children, but it didn't take me out of the show at all. And I think, although it did kind of come out of left field that Wallace wanted to go, I don't think it's completely outside his character to do something like that. And maybe just, you know, him seeing everything that was going on and getting wrapped up in the case kind of just made him decide, okay, well, I've got, you know, a summer to do something. I might as well do something worthwhile. So I was totally fine with all of it. And I actually really, really liked this episode. I think this is one of the first episodes in season 3 that I was 100% invested in.
Oh, good.
I guess it makes sense regarding his character because he's a good person. I guess what I didn't understand is I felt like he didn't, like, to me, it would have made more sense if Veronica wanted to go because she was so wrapped up in the case. Like, she was intimately involved and had to hear things. Or, like, Piz, because he interviewed the guy. But right. I didn't feel like Wallace interacted enough or learned enough to make that decision.
I can totally see that. Like, it does fit in with his nice guy persona, but I feel like Wallace is also the type of person who would think of all of the details before signing up to do something. Like, I feel like he would think of, like, he would be leaving his family and his brothers for the summer, and, like, how feasible it would be with his schoolwork, or, I don't know, anything like that, but.
I almost see him going to Chicago to see his dad for the summer, who he doesn't see, versus going to Africa. I think that.
Wait, you mean Wallace has a dad still?
Exactly.
But I enjoyed this episode too. I thought it was a little too heavy on the invisible children thing, or like the company, not the company, the organization itself a little bit. And I did get taken out of the moment a little bit when Apollo quoted the survivor slogan. He was talking about, like, how his life was, and then he quoted Survivor and saying, like, outwit, outplay, outlast. So that kind of took me out of it a little bit. But all in all, I really enjoyed this one. And I enjoyed the episode before it, too. I was glued to my television the whole time. Like, I didn't have to be distracted in order to get through it like I have with some of the other ones. So it was a nice change.
It made me so happy when the dad was for real. It just made me so happy.
Yeah. I really liked Apollo and his whole storyline. Like, I just thought it was such a nice thing to bring up, and something that is really happening. And the way they kind of, like, put Apollo on a pedestal, and then, you know, because of everything he went through, and then brought him back down, I was so disappointed. I'm like, are you serious? Like, I could tell how invested I was in him as a character and his storyline, because I was really upset when it looked like he was a fraud. And then when he gets raised back up on that pedestal, it was such a relief, and I was so happy that in the end everything kind of, like, worked out. I'm all about happy endings this time. Like, both the episodes had happy endings, and I was really happy about that.
It's a nice feeling.
Yeah, we don't always get that on Veronica Mars, so I'll take it while it lasts.
Yeah. Like, we'll get satisfying endings, but not, like, happy. So. But two people who may not be getting a happy ending are Piz and Veronica, and their different reactions to internships. First of all, I'm not quite sure. I think Piz did turn down the Pitchfork one, and that makes me really angry because it's Pitchfork, and that shouldn't have been a question.
Wait, is that the one in New York?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? He turned it down? We have this confirmed.
I think...
He's an idiot. What, I know. Like, what is he thinking? He's crazy. Oh my gosh.
When Veronica lectured him about, like, where he wants to go, it made it seem like he was making up stories that he wanted to go towards the Neptune one.
Yeah, well, he wanted to pick Neptune because he wants to stay with his girlfriend all summer. But has he not watched The Hills? Like, you go to France. Do it. Oh.
Such a great reference.
Good job.
Yeah, I think it's really, like, the idea that you have to be with your boyfriend or girlfriend in the summer when you have great opportunities elsewhere is just stupid. Like, if your relationship's strong enough, it's going to survive a summer apart. And there's these things called plain Skype, and, okay, not Skype during this time, but still, there's ways to communicate. So the fact that Piz was not super excited for Veronica, and I don't know how she didn't notice this, because she was going to be across the country, was just really disappointing, because he is a good guy. And so you're like, you want him to be smarter and more supportive. So I think this episode showed that he's not the perfect boyfriend, like, you know, some people claim.
Oh my God, he's so clingy. Like, 3 months is not 3 years. 3 months is like nothing. And especially if they're going to be in New York and Washington, like, that is not that far away. They're crazy. He's crazy.
Right, but I think at that point he had turned down the New York one. And so I think he's kind of regretting the fact that I didn't see him. I do see him as being supportive. Like, I think he was happy that Veronica got it, but I think the thoughts that were going through his head were more along the lines of, well, I picked this internship to stay here with her, and that's not even crossing her mind at this moment. and I could have chosen the one that I really wanted to do, and things would have worked out.
Well, you know, you live and you learn, Piz. You live and you learn.
It's funny because I actually hadn't thought about any of this while that was going on, like whether he took that one internship or not. What I thought the problem was, and I could just be like missing the bigger picture here, which I think I am, but was that he was sort of upset that Veronica didn't want him around. Like, she was like, oh, wow, you'll go to New York City and, like, it'll be great, even though we're going to be super far away. Like, she was definitely invested in him getting a good internship, but I think he was disappointed that she wasn't like, oh, man, you know, we're going to be away from each other the whole summer. Exactly. How are we going to survive? Blah, blah, blah. And I think that's where at least some of his disappointment stemmed from.
Yeah, and the fact that she didn't think, like, the same thing when she got accepted.
Yeah, but I totally agree, like, if this is your career, you go for the one that is most important to your career. I mean, if you guys are meant to be, then it's going to last, and you're going to make it through the summer. And it's only a summer. It's not that big of a deal.
I think the biggest reason why he was kind of making it a big deal is just because where they are in the relationship at the moment. If they had been dating, let's say, since like October or even Christmas time, I think it may have been a little bit less of a big deal. But considering that at this point, it looks like it's end of March, maybe April. And then the summer is what, like 2 months away? Not even. I think that's maybe why he thinks it's more of a big deal. Just a possibility. Just because they haven't been dating for that long.
You know, this happened to my parents, and my mom turned down, like, this great opportunity to go to Mexico City, and they got married. So.
All right.
They got engaged that summer, so I guess there's that.
It works out for some stupid people.
I tell her all the time it was dumb. She should have gone to Mexico.
But then you might not be here with us right now, Ariana.
I mean, maybe.
That would be so sad.
Oh, goodness. All right. And then we also have Parker kind of thinking the same thing. Is her situation or their relationship, her and Logan's, any different than Piz and Veronica?
She's kidding, too.
Minus the fact that they don't have internships to worry about, apparently.
Kind of ridiculous that Parker doesn't have an internship opportunity, that she's not portrayed as being... as thinking ahead at all. So that just kind of pissed me off that she's just characterized as dumber than Veronica or dumber than Mac in that way. But I think it just also shows that Logan, you know, she's not his priority.
Yeah, definitely. And I really like Parker, and I sort of like that she's changed a little bit from when we first met her, and she's calmed down a little bit and she isn't so boy crazy. And it's really nice to see a more realistic side of her instead of like a caricature. But at the same time, like her being so clingy and whiny, I don't really like that. I kind of understand it because Logan isn't exactly, you know, he doesn't exactly have the best track record. So I can understand why she would be worried.
Yeah.
But it did bother me that like this was, you know, it's just more relationship drama that I don't think the show needs.
I guess it didn't bother me that she didn't have an internship, because to me that seems really realistic. Like,
yeah,
that a lot of people can't afford to have internships. Like, they have to live at home and work during the summer. But I guess I don't think that she has that problem, since she was going to go to South America. But I guess what bothers me more is that she's so clingy and like, ah, Logan, you can't leave me.
Was that your Parker impression?
Only in this one episode. I like her the rest of the time.
It was almost like a crazy cat lady sort of thing.
Yeah, that was fun. I'm not really sure what that was.
But no, I totally agree, because in my experience, people around me didn't really start getting internships until like your summer going into junior year of college. I don't know if that's like abnormal. But I've never really heard of all of these people getting them freshman year. It would be like maybe one out of every 20. So I never thought of her as being like sort of a slacker, being shown as being less. But yeah, I do agree with the whole neediness, and that was kind of obnoxious. So nobody was really, I don't want to say upset, but a little peeved at Logan for not thinking about the summer or Parker. Because I mean, that obviously shows where she stands on the totem pole with him.
Yeah, that did bother me a little bit. And I think that it's kind of sad that Veronica's just like, yeah, that's just how he is, like writing it off. I mean, it is how he is, but that's still not okay. Like, even if I wasn't going out with a guy for very long, if they didn't even tell me what their summer plans were, that's just sort of like a red flag in my book.
Yeah. I don't know. It didn't bother me at all, but I don't know. He loves her a lot. He bought that cake with his face on it, so.
It all goes back to the face cake, huh?
The face cake.
Face cake. Moving on, let's talk really quickly about Vinny and the Fitzpatricks a little bit more, because they have like a conjoined storyline in this episode with the burglaries and Vinny being a consultant for the security system that all of the burglarized houses have. How did you feel about that link between the two of them? And was it developed enough? Is it compelling at all? Or is it just kind of a way to drum up drama?
I mean, we knew before, like we've gotten in earlier episodes that Vinny's worked with the Fitzpatricks, right?
Right.
Okay.
So yeah, he was like their on-call guy, which is why he was in the River Six, that one with the one.
Right. So I guess it does make sense. Although I feel like they're bringing back the Fitzpatricks for like just to kind of wrap up that storyline, which makes sense, I guess. And I think this is the conflict for me for a lot of season three, especially now that we're getting near the end. Part of me wants all of these things to be sort of wrapped up, but the other part's like, well, it feels so random now, and it feels like you're just throwing things together at the end, so I don't really know what to think about it, but I'm not that invested.
Yeah, it's just hard to be, because again, they're trying to make Vinny seem more calculating, I guess, than he is, because before he would just always follow where the money was, and now it kind of feels like more than that, even though he is following the money and stuff, but I don't know. It just seems like they're throwing the Fitzpatricks in wherever they need some sort of hole filled, which isn't good storytelling, in my opinion.
Yeah, I just don't think we need the Fitzpatricks right now, and I don't think they add that much to Keith's election storyline, and honestly, I don't really even care about Keith's election. Like, that's just, it's a sad fact, but I just don't think it's being portrayed as that interesting.
Thank you, Gabrielle. I feel the same way.
Even though it is, like, technically important, because this is a town who's had not good leadership, but yeah, it's just not compelling enough to really care. Like, obviously, you want Mr. Mars to continue doing what he does and what he does well, but it's just not threatening enough.
It's just that the adults around him aren't complex or interesting enough to really make this seem like it's really important. Do you know what I mean? Like before, yeah, there was the Canes and even Aaron Eccles in first season. Like they were kind of scary and important people. And now it's just like Vinny Van Lo.
Wow, the Canes. I haven't thought about them in a while. They were so important in the town of Neptune for like season
They like one. Ran the town.
Yeah, and now they're just not there anymore. Which, granted, you know, their life has been pretty sucky, but still.
I want the Canes to be in the movie so bad, but it's probably not going to happen. So.
I kind of really just want to see Duncan. Like, is that bad?
I want to see Duncan and his baby.
Baby.
We'll be like a 10-year-old now.
Yeah. Oh, one thing that we forgot to mention with Parker, and I'm glad you put it down here, Gabrielle, was her parents. I don't know about you, but they kind of reminded me of Meg's parents, only, if it's possible, a more extreme version.
Because she's Meg 2.0, basically.
Yeah. We talked about this in the last one. She's Meg 2.0, Veronica 4.0, and Lily 5.0.
Oh my god, that is so true.
Yes. If you want, I can follow the lines for you, but yes, those are the numbers on that one.
Yeah, her parents were jerks. Like, I just, it really bothers me. I mean, they're really bad at, like, portraying parents, I think, in this show, except for Keith, but they were an exaggeration, I think, and it just, it really bothered me and made me angry that they would treat their daughter like that.
Yeah.
I also think they would react differently knowing that she had been raped. Like, I don't really think they would treat her like that. And I'm surprised we didn't really see them more earlier this season.
Although, considering she was raped, like, I don't see any reasonable parent, like, letting her go off to South America. So,
that too. Yeah.
Their anger, I guess, was justified, but misplaced.
Yeah, and I mean, even when she was raped and, like, they came to take her home, they were like, slut-shaming her. And they
were awful.
Really, yeah. So, just obnoxious. All the adults, it's just so obnoxious. It's too much. And I'm glad we're kind of towards the end, so we don't have to deal with it a lot more, but I'm sad that I have to actually say that.
The movie will be great.
The movie will be great.
Because everybody we love will be adults and they'll be reasonable.
Yes. Speaking of possibly reasonable adults, I'm not sure how you feel about him, but Big Dick comes back.
Big Dick is not reasonable, Danielle.
He's so stupid.
But him, how do you feel about him turning himself into the authorities, at least? Is that any sort of redeemable quality to him, or not really?
Too little, too late, Big Dick.
Yeah, okay. Definitely.
Okay. And also, he kept calling it, I was talking to Karen about this, it really bothered me how he's like, Dick, I want to spend time with you, I'm going to be in jail, and we're not going to see each other. He's going there for like a year. One. Two, he kept calling it the big house, and only people like him would call it the big house. And also, he probably wouldn't even go to the same kind of jail that other people go to because he's a rich white male.
He would go to like one of those resort jails.
Yes.
He would go to the Wolf of Wall Street jail.
Yeah, it just that whole thing bothered me so much. So much.
I just loved it that Dick finally gave him the, you know what's up, because, oh my gosh, he's so right. Like, all this stuff happened to Beaver. I didn't even think about that, how he didn't even show up for anything. Like, he just, like, left little Dick there dealing with it all by himself.
Oh, I have so many feelings about Dick.
So many.
It's, yeah. Can we talk about that now? His outburst, because it did things to me, and I was texting Danielle all in caps, but when he was like, don't you ever think maybe it was our fault? And I see, Danielle, that you cried during the scene.
Oh,
I cried too.
I did too.
Oh, good. I was really worried that you guys would be like, oh my, yeah.
You're soulless, Gabrielle.
But seriously, like, and it makes me really mad though, because I really, really love Dick for who he is, because I think he's, you know, hilarious, and I like that he's unapologetic, but he is a caricature a lot of the time, and when he breaks down and he's an actual human being, it just makes those moments a lot more beautiful, and it just doesn't happen enough. But that's why I love this scene so much, because, you know, we finally get to see him talk about his brother and kind of admitting like his guilt about it, and you can tell how guilty he is by just saying, like, you know, it was our fault. We used to have contests to see, like, who could make him cry first or the most or whatever. And just to kind of see him not being an actual ass for a minute it was really nice.
It was so wonderful. I just feel like he, of everyone this season, has had the most growth, which is surprising and strange. But I feel like his speech basically, it like it made everything make sense, everything that he's done this year, even when he acts like an idiot, even when he was acting responsible towards Logan after his Veronica breakup, sort of semi-responsible. He did leave the child there. But I think it makes a lot of sense, the way he's reacting to his friends and reacting to people around him, that he feels this guilt and that he's trying to party it all away.
And in that insight on how his dad, he and his dad used to work together to make Beaver cry, in that you can also sort of see the way that Dick grew up, and not saying that it excuses any of the things that he's done, like using the date rape drug or anything like that. But you get more of an insight into how, maybe how much pressure he was under when he was younger. Because if he wasn't with his dad making fun of Beaver, he would have been on the other end of that if he wasn't with his dad on that. Does that make sense? Like, there was that pressure where he had to conform to what his dad was doing in order to not be the subject of criticism or jokes.
He was adapting to his situation. He was surviving in his situation.
Yeah, I
agree, and I think it's kind of ridiculous that no one has really talked about Cassidy or Beaver this season, as we've discussed in this episode, and that Logan hasn't sat Dick down and say, hey, what's going on? Are you okay? And that they just kind of gloss over that, you know, his brother ended up being a serial murderer, you know, who had some issues and who was raped as a kid. Like, you don't just gloss over that in real life. So I'm glad that we see Dick reacting to it, and that him confiding in Logan that everything's not okay for once.
I feel like a lot of that stuff has happened off camera, which I guess sort of makes sense. But at the same time, yeah, I really would have liked to have seen that conversation between Logan and Dick when Dick showed up at his doorstep. Yes. That one night when he basically broke down. And I think there's just a lot of potential there that we're just not getting. And it's also pretty sad when the person who's grown the much on the show is Dick this season. It's not that I'm complaining, because I think it's really great to see that side of him, but there are a lot of other characters who are way more important that should be going through that same sort of process, and they're not.
And it shouldn't have to be just one character, or even like one character per season.
Yeah.
It should be more than that.
Because Beaver's betrayal affected so many people, and...
Yes, it did.
But, like, another thing that has never been addressed is that Beaver raped Veronica because Logan provided the roofies that Dick gave to her. And then Dick encouraged Beaver to rape her. Like, that has never been addressed, which is a big deal.
I think they probably just couldn't find the best way to deal with it. And so they just kind of left it as a non-issue. That's the best way that I can maybe see.
It happened off screen.
Yeah. Because Dick has been such a charming character no matter what he has done, I don't know if they wanted to throw that in there necessarily, which it doesn't mean that it's right, but that could be that's just what I think may have happened. But I agree, it should have been addressed. But I'm glad that you guys had a big reaction to that scene, because that is my favorite scene from this episode. And I think I just cried. I cried at that more than I cried at anything having to do with invisible children. Like, this is a pretty dramatic episode with stuff like that. And I think that's what made me really cry. So Mac is sparing no tears over her breakup with Bronson, and she and Max are now together, as we saw. Was it Ariana, did you say that you had a lot of things to say about this?
I mean, I already said most of them. I'm just super disappointed in her. I love the vegetarian, and this guy who I liked at first is kind of a big loser. Like, what is he doing? Well, I always had an issue with the way that he was making so much money off of cheating, because I just don't like cheating in the first place. I think that people should learn for themselves. That's a really valuable thing. Then we're going to have a bunch of people walking around who don't know how to do anything except buy stuff. That's great. and that he's perpetuating this by with his business. And now he's going to drop out because he's failing everything, which I don't see how he's failing if he can have all the answers.
That's a really good point. That's a good point.
So he's just like a huge idiot, and I'm angry. And Max deserves better, like the vegetarian.
I had a lot of thoughts on this, too, just because, like I said before, I really liked Bronson, but I also really liked Max. And I think that there's a lot of parallels going on here between Max's relationship with these two boys and Veronica's relationship with her two guys, where it's sort of like neither one is right nor wrong. They just kind of, like, play to different sides of the girls. And so it's hard for me to be like, well, I think she should be with this one, because I like them both for different reasons, and I think that she goes well with them for different reasons. But at the same time, I think the way that she handled it was just not that great. And even though I could really see the chemistry between Mac and Max, I was really sad that she sort of just dumped Bronson and then, like, slept with Max. And then she didn't really necessarily know him that well. And she finds out that, yeah, he's a loser and he's, you know, failing all these classes. He doesn't even care that he's going to get expelled. She can do a lot better than that. And I think the other thing that really bothers me is that Max can be a lot better than that, too. And I think I was really disappointed in his character as well, because I've liked him from the beginning, even though, yeah, what he's doing is not cool, but I just kind of liked his personality and how geeky he was and everything. And it really bothers me that he just doesn't care about school at all and is like, yeah, I'm just going to move off campus and, you know, sell these tests, and that's how I'm going to live my life for however long.
Like, they're both nerds, but he's, with his lack of motivation, he's a different kind of nerd. And I think that kind of makes me a little bit uncomfortable with him being with Matt. Not that you have to be like the same person to date, but I feel like he's not who we thought he was.
Exactly. I understand, because, like, obviously we all love nerds. We're all big nerds ourselves.
Oh, yeah.
But there's, like, different kinds of nerds. There's the Big Bang Theory nerds, and then there's, like, the ones who live in their mother's basement, like, playing games and stuff and never seeing the light of day or creating a career for themselves. And that's kind of seems like the path that he's going on. When he's so smart, he should not do that.
Oh, Karen, you have a random fact here. Did you want to finish up our discussion of this episode with that?
Yeah,
I never noticed that.
Oh, really? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Okay.
So Keith calls two of his deputies, Kitsis and Horowitz, and this really jumped out to me because, I mean, first and foremost, those were the two writers for Lost, but they're also the writers for Once Upon a Time and Once Upon a Time in Wonderland. And so I was just like, oh, that's a really weird coincidence. Wait a second, that's not a coincidence. They did that on purpose. So I tried looking it up, and I'm not really quite sure, like, why they did, like, this little shout-out there. So I was wondering if you guys had any information on that.
When was Lost on? Do you remember the years? Because I never watched it. Because this was 2007.
Let me look at their IMDb. I feel like
it was a shout out to Lost.
Well, they didn't create Lost, though.
Oh.
They were just writers on it, right?
Yeah, they were just writers on Lost.
Or maybe they're BFFs with Rob? Because they're all writers?
Maybe. I'm looking at their IMDb right now to see if anything shows up. They were on Felicity Forever.
I love Felicity. Such a good show.
Yeah. They started on Lost in 2005. That's like the year this was on, wasn't it? They were never on Veronica Mars, though. That's weird.
Maybe they were just friends then of Rob.
Yeah. So if anybody knows maybe why they gave them that shout out, I'd really like to know, because I really like Kitsis and Horowitz. I think that they're great writers. Obviously, mm-hmm. I'm pretty into Once Upon a Time, but it was just something that really, like, made my head snap up, and I was like, oh, that's cool.
I can't believe I missed that. I'm really sad now. I have to go back and look at that.
It was like 2 seconds and then it was done, but it just, it made me smile.
Yeah. Awesome. All right, well, let's move into our favorite scenes and favorite lines. Mine, as we've already discussed thoroughly, was Dick confronting Big Dick and all of the emotions that came with that. Karen, what was your favorite scene?
Mine was actually when, and yeah, I talked about mine too, when Apollo turned out to be the real deal and he got one over on Veronica. He tricked her into thinking that that he wasn't the real deal. And, you know, he set up a pretty elaborate thing there. And I know it's bad, and I think, but I think we all kind of agree. You know, Veronica's the main character. We should kind of love her no matter what. But I really like when people get one over on her because she needs to be knocked down a couple of pegs every once in a while. And it was nice to see that happen.
It's so fun. It's so great. Because it's like you already know that the person is not flawless and that they're relatively unreliable in their narrations that we used to get. Yeah. So it's nice to see her, since we haven't gotten those narrations a lot. She just gets proved false.
Oh, yeah. I guess she doesn't do a lot of voiceovers now, huh?
The last one I remember was when she had her head shaved, and she's talking about the people who are there for you are the ones that you may not treat the best or something like
along those lines. Oh, so random.
She had some voiceovers in this episode, I'm pretty sure, because I remember it was either this one or the last one, because I remember going, oh, there's voiceover Veronica. I don't think we've heard from her in a while.
We used to get it all the time in season one.
I know.
Yeah, I kind of miss it.
Interesting. All right. Yeah, I kind of do too. It was nice. I'm not usually a huge fan of voiceovers, but I think it works well considering that everything's from her point of view. But I digress. Ariana, what was your... I'm sorry, were you going to say something, Gabrielle?
Well, I was just going to say it works well because she's Gossip Girl. So.
Yes!
This is true. Yes. Ariana, speaking of Gossip Girl, hello. What was your favorite scene?
Well, obviously it was the Big Dick, Little Dick one, but I think that aside from that, I really loved Apollo's dad. I mean, he made me cry too. I just loved that big guy, so I loved that scene.
I totally cried when they met and when he was like, father? And I was like, yeah, I'm gone.
Oh my gosh.
Done. So done. Oh gosh. And Gabrielle, your favorite scene?
My favorite scene was just Veronica and her dad after she got the FBI internship, just how excited she was and how, you know, he was just so proud of her. And I love the Keith Veronica moments. So I'm glad we're seeing more of those.
Ice cream. I loved it when they said that.
It's adorable.
I love them so much. All right. Favorite lines. Mine is from Veronica to Piz. And she says, you realize you're the radio host version of a rock star, right? I don't know what the groupie procedure is for this scenario, but I might have to throw my panties at you.
And I love that he wasn't like a dick about it or anything. He was like, well, I have some Sharpies. I could sign something. Oh, he's so sweet.
Oh, I love him. Karen, what was your favorite line?
More Wallace appreciation. This is when he's talking to Veronica about Piz, and he says, he's a good guy, Veronica. Try not to rip his heart out. And I think, like, it was kind of funny, but at the same time, super truthful. Not that I ever think that Veronica would do something like that on purpose, but she is kind of like a force to be reckoned with. And if you're not prepared for that, and if you're not the type of person who can really handle that, I think that it could be really sort of heartbreaking. And so I am kind of worried about Piz, and I'm kind of glad that Wallace is too.
Obviously, he says it from experience.
Yes.
Aw. So sad. Ariana, what was your favorite line? If you have
one. Well, I feel bad because I'm paraphrasing, because while this scene was going on, I was so emotional that I didn't, like, properly write it down. But it was basically at the end of the Big Dick, Little Dick scene when Dick says, I can barely live with myself, and it's so much easier when you're not here. Because yes. I just, oh my gosh, the feelings.
All the feels.
I'm, like, gonna cry again because,
oh,
it just, that just meant a lot to me. Which is weird because, I mean, Dick's been around for a while, but he's never been anyone that I've really paid a whole lot of attention to. But just seeing, like, I guess him that emotional and that open and vulnerable just really got to me.
His face was so blotchy and he was crying and...
Stop it.
Sorry. Okay, moving on. Gabrielle, what was your favorite line? Please cheer us up here.
Okay, well, my favorite line is a sassy Veronica one. So here's the conversation to give some background. So Kizza says, I'm looking for Detective Mars. Veronica, I'm Detective Mars. Kizza, but you're just a girl. You're a teenager. Veronica, a girl, a teenager, and a private detective. I'm a triple threat. Barely fits on my business card. So true. Kind of sums up the entire series.
Yeah, it really does.
Love it. All right, I think that's all we have to say about these two episodes. And by all, I mean, I think we had a lot to say, so this is good. If you would like to contact us, please do. You can email us at rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com. You can tweet at us at re_watchable. And you can also comment on this post on Hypeable with anything that you want to say about these two episodes, whether you agree with us, disagree, whether you cried too. If we want to just have a crying circle at some point, that may happen. Let us know. Write to us. And you can also leave us a review on iTunes. It's possible. And we've actually gotten quite a few lately, which is really great. If you leave us a review on iTunes, it helps other people find us, and we can just be a big happy family. Ariana, you don't happen to have any sort of incentive up your sleeve for this one, do you?
Oh gosh, if you leave us a review, we will. Oh my gosh, I don't know. This is so much pressure. We will make you a face cake.
Yeah, that's perfect.
I love it. Okay, we will make you a face cake. Right.
I was going to say something about throwing panties because that was on my mind because of your thing, Danielle, but I really don't feel like throwing my panties at anyone. So.
Face cake instead.
Yes.
It's probably a better option. Yeah, we're not going to go into that. Okay. But we do happen to have some listener feedback from last time. Ariana, you said that there was a cute tweet.
Yes, although it's going to take a long time for them to hear it, because this is from Oda I. Velour, who is at Oda what? Oda WT. And she says, rewatchable, just listen to all season 1 and 2 podcasts in 1 week, hoping to catch up with the season 3 podcast this week. Love it. Oh, maybe it won't take her that long. I was like...
That's awesome. Thank
I know.
You.
That's so cool. Intense.
Yeah.
I love it.
It's so great. Good job. Let's see. Oh, I'm sorry. I can't read. It's fine. We happen to have a post from Hypeable that we actually wanted to talk about. Karen, did you want to read this one?
Sure. This is from Alexis, and she says, I've always wondered what the hell the writers were thinking, making Veronica blame Madison for her rape, when she should have been directing that anger towards Dick, the person who intentionally roofied his own girlfriend, which of course led to Veronica's rape. Sure, there's the argument that Dick had 2 doses of GHB, so maybe he was going to take one and ask Madison to take the other, but in the flashback, we literally see him put GHB in Madison's drink and hand it to her without saying a word. She had absolutely no choice in the matter. Dick, as much as I love him in the later seasons, is an attempted rapist. I think this is a really good point, and I mean, I don't really know what to say about it all that much in terms of who's actually to blame, but I definitely have to say that this whole situation wasn't really handled properly, and I think it would have been really nice to sort of get more people talking to each other about it. Even if nothing was really resolved, you can't really resolve a whole lot because it happened, it's over and done with. You know, the pain is always going to be there and the trauma is always going to be there. But I think it would have been nice to see Veronica and Dick talk about it, see Logan and Veronica talk about it more, maybe even a confrontation with Madison. It just, you know, there's a lot of unrealized potential, I think, in season three, and this definitely is added to the bunch.
I agree. And I feel, I was just thinking about it when you were talking, and I feel like since they brought it up again, that there should be some sort of more of a resolve going on with this. Because Dick has become such a fan favorite character, I feel like there should be a resolve. And because Madison was brought back up, and she was the focus in like two episodes this season, that it should be addressed on how terrible all of this was. So, yeah. So thank you, Alexis, for that comment. We really appreciate it. And we really like your insight. We also have another iTunes review. Super exciting. This one is from Jen Shelby. Gabrielle, would you like to read that?
Sure. So thank you, Jen. It says, "This is an excellent podcast. The hosts have very interesting conversations and great debates. There's a great balance of personalities. I also love that they are very reliable and always have an episode out every week. Love the Veronica Mars discussions and can't wait to find out what's next." Thank you, Jen. It's really sweet of you.
That is so sweet, and
you
I
get
feel
Ariana's
like we have to
incentive,
give
whatever it was.
Major, yeah. I feel like we have to give major props to like Caitlin for scheduling us so well, and Mitch and Karen who put so much work in like editing these, which sounds awful and hard. So
and Gabrielle and Ariana for putting the docs together, so we always have like discussion points and good synopses and stuff like that. So,
and Danielle for moderating us. Love all around. Yeah.
Everyone is amazing. And it's actually going to make me really sad when we go to the next show, because you never really know who has time to stick around and who wants to do the next show. And when you've, I mean, we've been doing this for a long time, guys. Like by the end of it, I think it'll be like 8 months or so. And you kind of get attached to everybody. Not that we weren't attached before, but I know all of us have gotten closer because of this podcast. So it's going to be kind of tough when we have to switch.
Oh my gosh. I love you all so much. I know. This is just like.
I'm going to cry. I've already started thinking about it. And Caitlin actually watched the last two episodes, I think yesterday. And she was tweeting about them. And I wanted to just bawl.
It's going to be really, I have a feeling that when we do the episode for the movie, and I figure we can do like a Veronica Mars sort of overview, like all our feelings and how we feel about the show in general too, which would make sense to kind of coincide with the movie. Yeah. It's just going to be all of us going, oh my God, I don't want to go yet.
And all my marshmallows are all grown up now and I don't have to say no comments anymore.
Oh.
Oh, goodness. And speaking of emotional things that will make us cry.
Stop!
it's okay. Gabrielle has some news that is both good and bad. And I just wanted to have her kind of talk about it really quickly because we love her. So, Gabrielle.
Thank you. Well, I love Rewatchable and I love Veronica Mars. And as a lot of you guys who listen know, I used to cover Veronica Mars for Hypeable, as well as Pretty Little Liars and Tomorrow People and Ravenswood. And I got a new job, which I'm really thrilled about, and it's a really great opportunity, but I don't have time to write for Hypeable anymore. So Danielle has been doing a fantastic job covering Veronica Mars, and I think there may even be a new person covering it full time for Hypeable.
Yeah, and they just inducted her into the Facebook. Speaking, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
This is exciting news. This is like breaking news.
And this will air like 2 weeks later.
Stop ruining the illusion.
So I had a great time writing for Hypeable, and I think I love Veronica Mars, so I'm really excited I get to finish out the podcast and hopefully do the next Rewatchable podcast with all these wonderful people. But unfortunately, I'm not covering it for the site anymore, but I'm still obsessed with it. So if you want to follow me on Twitter, you'll see that most of my tweets are about Veronica Mars, and a lot of them are to the people on Rewatchable. And so thank you guys for commenting on my articles and supporting me, and listen to our podcast because we're going to talk about the movie, which is what I was reporting on. So get excited.
Speaking of the movie.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Our special announcement, a reminder that Gabrielle, Mitch, and I will be going to see the Veronica Mars movie on Saturday, March 15th at 2 p.m. at the AMC South Bay Galleria 16 Theater in Redondo Beach. So we should probably put this somewhere, like tweet it out or something.
Sure. Isn't it 4:10?
Yeah, it's at 4:10.
4:10. We'll do something. We'll make it easy to find for you guys. But you guys should come if you're in the SoCal area, and let us know if you're coming, and I'll bring some marshmallows. Aww. I've made this promise now, so I guess I have to.
Wonderful.
I'm so sad.
Well, I will see you soon, Karen.
I know.
At least you could watch it on the same day, though, now, Karen.
Yeah, that's really exciting.
Yeah. So we can all have the same emotions at the same time. So, yeah. Fun stuff. Oh, gosh. All right, let's go. I'm not going to be able to handle much more of this. So, everybody, your homework is to watch the final two episodes of Veronica Mars ever. So watch those, and we will see you right back here at the same time next week, and we're all going to get all sorts of emotional about it. Does that sound good to you? Because it sounds good and bad to me. So
I agree.
Yeah. All right, so until then, I'm Danielle.
I'm Mariana.
I'm Gabrielle.
And I'm Karen.
And we'll see you later, marshmallows. Have a good week.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.